Hey folks, get ready to be wowed. I am telling you, this is an instant classic with Chief John Dixon on the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, episode 94.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie with the Get Balanced Podcast. And of course, I'm going to start this one off, and I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction, but this is with Chief John Dixon of the Teaneck Fire Department, and this is out of Jersey. And I want to share with everyone what, you know, John and I, we have not met before, and but I came across this profile, and we connected on LinkedIn. And but John, on your, you have that, you know, your credential as a fire officer, you know, graduate grade of fire engineering, you know, Institute for Fire Engineers, training officer, et cetera. I mean, you are well-educated, well-decorated firefighter. And a lot of times that can catch people's attention. I saw it, but it is right underneath that caught my attention. And that was, you have right there in your title, follower of Christ, father, husband, firefighter, Knight of Columbus. Talk to me a little bit. First, let's go into the fire service, a little bit about your career, but I really want to get into follower of Christ, father, husband. Okay.
Understood. Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast show. I considered it an honor to be here with you today and speaking about the work-life balance. I have followed your work since you started. And
Thank you.
I am a fan.
Thank you very much.
And I could do a better job of getting my balance in order. And you do help me with that. So thank you. So to just touch upon my fire service pedigree, if you will, I am currently a tour commander of the 2nd Platoon in the Teaneck, New Jersey Fire Department. For the past 7 months now, I was voluntold to come out of the office. the chief of training and safety, there was a specific need that my chief needed me to help him out with. So I packed my bags from the administrative side and I went on to the operations side. I've been a career firefighter for 21 years. I started as a volunteer firefighter in my hometown of Richfield Park, New Jersey, where I cut my teeth, and then went into the military, became a Marine, came out of the military, took the police and fire test the same week. And the New Jersey Department of Corrections picked me up within about 2 or 3 months. And within my first year, my number was called for the fire department. So I politely told them to go pound salt, and I wanted to become a firefighter. So I followed my dreams. And then here we are. So that's my fire side in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, one, thank you for your service as a Marine. And what years were you in with the Marine Corps?
96. Went into 96. Yeah. I was a Marine security guard in the embassies.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. So you traveled
a little bit.
Got to see a little bit of the world. All right. So, and then how many years have you been with Teaneck Fire Department?
I've been with them for about 21 years now, going on my 22nd year. Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Well, let's talk about family a little bit. And then I want to jump into the title. So
sure.
Married?
I am married. My wife's name is Linda. We have been married for 18 years and we are high school sweethearts.
Oh.
You don't hear that too often, but we are high school sweethearts. And I have two beautiful daughters. My first daughter, Ashley, she's 21. And my second daughter, Madison, she's soon to be 16. And, you know, Ashley's in college, Madison's in high school. And they keep me busy. And you know, they are the apples of my eye. And they are the reason why sometimes my balance gets crazy.
Well, talk to me about that. What do you mean?
Well, you know, as a father, you have responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, I have a daughter in college, and that requires that there's some financial obligations. And security obligations, right? We can talk about the whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is kind of my jam. I want to make sure that my daughter's needs are met and they feel safe and they're secure, and I help them to work on their esteem. And, you know, sometimes it requires a little bit more for me to give out of my work and life balance to provide for my children.
Hey, John, you said something that really caught my attention, to help them work on their self-esteem. Talk more about that, if you would. Dig into that.
Well, certainly, I think that the your listeners would know and understand that in today's society, there's a lot of pressure and stress upon young people. And that's due for, you know, many, many factors, large part social media, of course, the age of COVID that we are unfortunately in this pandemic, and the life changes that the young people have had to endure thus far. And it certainly has impacted esteem. It has impacted their psyche. And as a father, as you know, as a firefighter, clearly, you know, we are the problem solvers. People call 911 and they're having an issue and they call us and we try to help them solve their problems and make their day a little bit better. So I try to take that mantra and obviously use it, you know, in my home life. Mm-hmm. I consider myself to be a problem solver. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but at least the attempt is there. But their self-esteem is being impacted because of the loss of interaction, whether it be within school or sports or, you know, extracurricular activities, what have you. So I've noticed that, and I've tried to really talk with my children about that. And I really should stop calling them my children, even though they're my children. They're my friends, you know, they're my best friends, but I'm still their parent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to make sure that they're okay. You know, I do the buddy check with them and I make sure that they are receiving necessary resources and support from within the home as well as outside the home.
Yeah. Now, is Ashley away at college?
She is. She's local. She's only about an hour away, but yes, she is staying away at college. And I think that's an awesome opportunity for young people to experience, is to fly the coop, if you will, whether it be local or, you know, far away. She's just far enough away where she's independent, but God forbid something should arise, I'm nearby. I'm only an hour away.
Yeah. You know, one thing about listeners know about this podcast, sometimes I take it in many different directions. So I'm just going to go with this because a question popped in my mind. I want to learn about your experience. Take me back to that first day that Ashley went off to college and probably you and your wife moved her in. What was that like when leaving that university?
I was proud to know that my daughter accepted the challenge of the next step in her life. And that's how I look at it. It's a progression, right? Life is most certainly a progression. And she's got a great head on her shoulder. She's very intelligent. She definitely gets her looks from her mother and maybe and maybe half the brains from me. But it was touching. It was emotional. But the biggest feeling that I experienced was pride. I was proud to know that my daughter was willing to accept that challenge of taking the next step in her personal life and soon to be her professional life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I dropped mine off. Well, I have four children and my third one dropped her off as a freshman in August. So about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And she's 5 hours away. And very proud, similar feelings, you know, and all of that. And it's like, hey, I can get down there in 5 hours, but you know, and but it was a very long goodbye, I should say. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You hug a little tighter that day.
Absolutely. Yes, you do. Well, let's talk a little bit about, as I mentioned at the onset of the show, is a follower of Christ. What prompted you put it out there, right? It's on your LinkedIn profile.
Yes, sir.
It's obviously you're passionate about it. And I see your backdrop, your picture and your beside you in uniform, but Isaiah chapter six, verse eight, in there. And, but talk to us a little bit about, being the follower of Christ.
Well, in all truth, being told, I wasn't always a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised, you know, Roman Catholic, and you know, I achieved all my sacraments, and I kind of walked away from the faith when I was younger, of course, because, you know, your values and priorities when you're younger are not the same as you grow up, and priorities change and your value systems change and your environment changes. So I kind of walked away from organized religion, if you will, mm-hmm. Became a little bit more of a agnostic, you know, show me, prove me. And I guess that was because of my environment, again, being in the military, working in prisons, and just seeing all the necessary evil in the world kind of turned me off. I found my spot and I found myself in a little bit of a dark spot. And it wasn't until I met another former guest on your show, Battalion Chief Andy Starnes out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And
brother Andy.
I met him down at a training event in 2013, 2014, down in South Carolina. And we were acquaintances and, you know, colleagues on social media and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I physically met him and him and I would just be struck a bond that's unbreakable. And I am an only child. And I always say that if I was to have a brother, it would be Andy. So with that being said, you know, we got together and we started talking, and, you know, I was reading his prolific writings that he provides. It really strikes deep. And it got me to thinking, and I asked some more questions. And one thing I enjoyed about Andy's preaching, if you will, is that it's not preaching. Mm-hmm. It's straightforward, however, not pushy. And we had a conversation and he challenged me to do my own research and you know, listen to some other podcast and get a different perspective. And so I did, and I found myself gravitating towards Christ. And I found that it helped me. It helped me center myself because I was definitely unbalanced. And it helped me to bring back that balance and reorganize my perspective and my priorities in life. And I really do feel that since I have come back to knowing Christ and following his example, it has made me a better father, a better husband, and most certainly a more patient fire chief. And I wanted to learn more. I wanted to do more. And I contribute many, many of my successes, past, present, and hopefully future, to the fact that I trust in him. And I know that he's in a driver's seat.
Yes. Amen to that. I love that. And, yeah, Andy is, as you know, just a phenomenal guy. And a couple things I want to touch on. One, you give me chills listening to that. Really do. You talked about how it brought you back into balance, and you followed the show and some of my work and things like that. And for those, any new listeners out there, is that my biggest thing with work-life balance is that in my research, it's been how well we take care of ourselves, our self-care. And there's four components of self-care, because a lot of times people just think, well, yeah, I exercise, but I'm not talking about just our physical care, but it's like our physical care, our psychological / emotional, you know, our mental health, right? Big, big, big area in firefighting today. Our social health, usually not a problem for firefighters, social health, but the spiritual wellness, you know, that other component, having spiritual wellness. And you touched on that to where, you know, actually you hit it really hard, is that you said that, you know, once you got that back, then you felt like you got back into balance. Can you share a little bit about how you sort of maybe felt out of balance? Like, you didn't have that part in your life, but did you feel, but when you were not, or when you were struggling with it, did it negatively spill over into other roles of your life, with family or any other area?
Indeed. I guess the best metaphor to use how I felt about being unbalanced was, you know, was the earth revolving around the sun, or was the sun revolving around me? And, you know, I was young. I was, you know, I had a young family and I was working really hard to provide for my family. And also look out for my future. And I just felt that I didn't have the right perspective, the right priorities, even though I shouldn't say right, because right is a relative term. What's right to me may not be right to others. However, I felt that something was missing. I felt a void. And I found myself, and this is going to sound weird, talking to myself.
I get it.
You're standing in front of the mirror in the morning, scraping your face, getting ready to go to work. And you're like, well, what kind of a day am I going to have today? And I just felt off. And I felt like I had really no one to talk to other than, you hit the nail on the head with the social aspect of firefighters. And I wanted to talk about substance. What does it really mean to be a devoted husband and father? What does it really mean to be a devoted fire officer or firefighter for that matter? I'm just a firefighter. Yes, I have a rank, but I'm still just a firefighter. And I wanted to have a deeper understanding of why I'm here. What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I doing the things that I do? I studied the human condition. I love to understand and wrap my head around why people do the things they do, especially with decision-making on and off the fire ground. And the one thing that I found myself to do doing is slowing down. I felt like I was in a rat race. So I live up here in, northeastern New Jersey. And for all the listeners out there, I don't talk funny. You listen funny. I'm just saying.
That's right.
I had that New York accent. But I wanted to slow down. And I felt that the time that I spent praying, the time that I spent talking with Jesus, and the time that I spent in church was most certainly a form of meditation. And it led me to knowing more about myself. Instead of people telling me the man I was, or the father, or the husband I was, I wanted to have a self-reflection and not rely on what other people were telling me or relying on the successes of the material world, money, car, house, all that kind of stuff. All of that goes away in the end. And I just really wanted to focus on the man that I wanted to be in all facets of my life. And getting centered, I felt, prior to coming back to following Christ, I was definitely off kilter. And getting to know him and follow him again, it's really helped me tremendously. And I feel that it's brought my blood pressure down probably about 20 points.
Best medicine right there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, do you have a sort of a daily practice that you do with prayer?
First and foremost, when I wake up and when I'm home and I wake up and I see my beautiful wife next to me, I just thank God,
Yeah.
And I thank God for allowing her into my life and having that true love. Again, we're high school sweethearts, so we've been around each other for quite some time, and I understand how that can be weird for some people, right? Always being with the same person that you've been with for so long. But I just thank God for waking me up and giving me the opportunities to work harder, to love harder, and just to be an all around good person, hopefully, and not measure myself to the ways of the world, but the beatitudes of Christ. I try to follow that.
That is awesome. Outstanding. Let me ask you, John, what are your toughest challenges today, being where you're at and what you're doing?
Professionally, the toughest challenge is here in the Northeast, in the fire service, we are very deep rooted in tradition, strategy wise, tactics wise, emotionally, our emotional intelligence is very deep rooted in tradition here. And I consider myself to be a half-assed academic, right? So I take a lot of classes, I read a lot of books, and I interact with a lot of different subjects, if you will. So I'd have to say my impatience is a flaw, and my frustration sometimes gets the better of me, because I wish and I hope that things could improve. And when they don't, or if they do, but it takes a significantly longer amount of time, professionally, I have to learn that not everything happens right away. And, you know, the old adage that the wheels on the government bus, they're not round, they're square. So, so it's clunky. So professionally, that's something that I have to work on, but I know that about myself. So, you know, I have strategies and things that I can, do. Personally, the things that I feel that I need to improve upon is learning the value of the word no. And I need to learn to say no more often. And I feel bad sometimes when I say no to certain things, certain people, certain events, if you will, only because sometimes, you know, by not saying no, I get unbalanced again. And I have to do a better job at that. And I have. I am light years ahead today where I was 5-6 years ago. However, you know, sometimes I do fall short of saying no.
Yeah. You know, I think many people do. And I don't know if you ever heard this on any of my teachings before, but I'll argue with you, John, that you say no very easily. Every time you're saying yes to one thing in your life, you're saying no to something else, oftentimes unconsciously.
I could see that, sure.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I teach in the workshop is that, you know, if because now that I brought it to your attention, you're probably going to be like, well, wait a minute. If you just pause, right? You know this. If you just pause next time you're ready to say yes to something, just if you just pause and ask yourself, wait a minute, what am I saying no to? You know, bring it from the unconscious to the conscious and say, ah, that's what I'm saying no to, you know, and then based upon your priorities, you move forward with the decision, right?
100%.
Yeah. I know we all think that we have trouble saying no, but yeah, we just reframing it, right? Put it into a little bit different perspective. Yeah. Talk to me about how, as a father and as a husband, how have you over the years prioritized your family, you know, to keep that balance going? How have you done that? Because it had to be challenging.
Sure. I mean, of course, when my two daughters were young, you know, it was all about mom, right? They were, you know, mom was the primary caregiver, if you will. And, you know, all about mom. And I was all about work, right? Putting food on the table, making sure that, you know, they had clean clothes and school shopping and you know, all those kind of things. As they, you know, grow more into their adolescent years and the preteen years, that was my time because they were playing sports and soccer and basketball. And it was just awesome going to their, you know, their basketball games and soccer games and hooting and hollering. And, you know, I even coached one of the soccer teams for a little while just to, you know, to make sure that I was more involved and give back to the community. And then they enter high school. And then I'm out of the picture again. I say that in jest because, you know, I think everything is cyclical. Mm-hmm. You know, just as being balanced is cyclical, I think home and work life is cyclical. And our priorities and our values rearrange themselves with life. And now that my daughter is in college, our relationship is as strong as ever. We may not talk every day. We may not see each other every day. However, when we do talk, it's more substance in our conversations other than just, hey, how was your day at school? And you know, what'd you get into? Now we're having conversations about things that I can feel that I can help her better, you know, how to plan for a professional development model, you know, short, mid, long-term goals. You know, now that she's in college, she can understand that a little bit better versus when she was in middle school and high school, she didn't want to talk to dad about that.
Yeah.
She can care less. And so when I say it's my time, you know, now that she's in college, I think our relationship has really grown stronger and I feel that I can be more of a help.
Yeah. I can see that. And I have similar experiences. Yeah. It's some great conversations happen. Let's talk a little bit about the future. What's the desired future look like for you?
Well, as I envision it now, it's almost like the perfect time frame. Ashley will be out of college. Madison will be just going into college. And I'll have enough time to retire in my current department. The deputy chief's test is close approaching, and I am hemming and hawing on whether or not I want to take it. Obviously, yeah. Professionally and personally, there's, you know, different things going on in my organization, and not sure if I want to elevate myself or even get involved in those things. So I would say the future holds for me where I'm going to be a young guy. I'm involved with some national organizations such as the NFFF and the IFC and certain things. So surely I'd like to test the waters when I do become retirement eligible and see what's out there. One thing I can share with you is I hate snow. And I would really like to move somewhere where it doesn't snow, because you can't shovel sunshine. So
that's right.
I would really look forward to maybe relocating out of the Northeast.
I heard Florida, they don't want any more people from the Northeast.
You know, Florida is Florida. You need a passport to be a firefighter in Florida. They are very, very stringent in their requirements and their prerequisites. And even though I have, you know, pro board certifications and whatnot, it's almost like I have to start from the beginning if I was to move to Florida. So Florida's out. Sorry, guys, but Florida's out. I got my eye in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. So,
I'd like to play golf, or AKA cut the grass. And not many people know this about me, and I'll share it because this is a personal podcast. I'm actually a chef. I went to culinary school.
Wow. Is that right?
I don't put that out there. I no longer cook professionally. However, you know, I do cook at home, and you know, I have got myself into commercial kitchens over the past couple of years just to kind of, you know, knock the dust and the rust off. But if all else fails professionally with the fire service, I can always just sharpen my knives and go back to cooking maybe two or three nights a week, golf the rest of the week, and just chill out and enjoy.
There you go. Gosh. Oh, that'd be awesome. Hey, talk about something. I know when I looked at, you have your own personal website, Instructor John Dixon, right? Talk about some of the training that you're doing out there.
So truth be told, I never wanted to have a business, if you will, never wanted to have a website. I'm just a passionate guy that just wants to share information, and, you know, I'm into the job, not just on the job. And then again, I was encouraged by, you know, certain people in my professional life to take it to the next level. So I reluctantly agreed, and it's paid off for me, because the amount of opportunity that was afforded to me to travel the country, actually travel the world, especially with Brother Andy, we travel to Europe, you know, often, and we train over there. It has afforded me to broaden my horizon and broaden my perspective about the fire service in general and about people in general. There's great people out there in the fire service talking about strategy and tactics and how to put out fire and whatnot. So I wanted to take a different direction, and I wanted to focus on the human condition in firefighting, right? Because they always say that firefighting is a people's business. We are here to serve people. So I wanted to learn more about people. You know, mm-hmm. There's plenty of avenues to learn about fire and community risk reduction and fire prevention. There's plenty of great people out there talking about that. But I was at a loss to find people who were really focused on people and why we make the decisions that we do on and off the fire ground. So that's where I center some of my writings. And again, another truth bomb is most of my writings are born out of frustration. Something that angered me and, you know, pissed me off, if you will. So mm-hmm. I sit down on my keyboard and I punch the keys on my keyboard, and, you know, revision after revision, you know, it gets into a workable format. So I kind of focused, like I said, I consider myself somewhat of a half-assed fire psychologist, if you will. I try to focus on human condition. That's what I write about. That's what I'm passionate about. And one of my leadership classes, matter of fact, the only leadership class that I have, the title speaks for itself: leadership exemplified, right? So how do you exemplify your personal and professional leadership style? You know, learning to lead yourself so that you may lead others, because people have to give you their permission to be led, right? Mm-hmm. You know, at work, yes, I have a rank and, you know, I have organizational authority. They have to follow me. They have to take my orders, but I don't want it to be like that. I want them to want to follow me. And of course, you know, setting the example and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we could talk for hours about that. But that was my first passion, if you will, is I want to be somebody who is worthy of being called a leader. And what does it take? What characteristics and traits does it take to be considered a leader? And we've all had great bosses. We've all had pretty crappy bosses. And you learn a lot more about leadership having a less than desirable boss than you do having a great boss. Mm-hmm. And I've learned some lessons, and I wanted to share that with people. And so my two passions are leadership and fire behavior. So that's what I write about. That's what I teach about. And I've had a great run at it. And I'm happy that I have the opportunity to do so.
No, that is outstanding. And I connect with you. I teach a leadership class in an MBA school. But you know, big piece, you know, difference between power and influence.
Right. Yeah. Referent power, right? We all talk about referent power.
Yeah.
I wrote about that. And you know, at the risk of sounding too academic, these are the things that are not often taught to firefighters. Here in the Northeast, you know, a lot of fire officers, when they sit in my class and we have a discussion, and I really don't want to call it a class, it's more of a conversational session, if you will. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, I wish I would have known this when I first got promoted, or, you know, I wish this is what we had to study when, you know, we were looking to be a fire chief or whatnot.
Yeah.
So I really relish the opportunities to bring that information to people and let them chew on it for a while. And the affirmation that I get is when I get phone calls and emails saying, hey man, this just happened to me. You know, what do you think I should do? And, you know, that's what I enjoy about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is great. Let me ask you we're coming up on about 30 minutes here. Is there anything that I did not ask you that you wished I would have, or anything you want to spend more time on?
Well, you know, in the pre-show when we had a discussion on, you know, how personal mm-hmm. would you like me to get, it's hard for firefighters to open up and be personal about themselves. Why? Because you're going to get ribbed, you're going to get joked on, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've always said that the reason why there's an obesity epidemic in the fire service is because we love to eat our own. And you know, one of the reasons why I was in a dark spot professionally was because when you put yourself out there, you're going to get personally attacked. Your qualifications are going to get called into question. Your character is going to get called into your question, your motives for why you want to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I feel that should be discussed is adversity doesn't tear you down. It builds you up. And again, it's all about the perspective and how you look at it. And that's one of the reasons why I turned to Christ. And, you know, Brother Andy got me out of a dark hole, because I was being personally attacked for wanting to be passionate about spreading information and having conversations that people were uneasy about having. And, you know, I just wish that firefighters would learn to become more comfortable with talking about their struggles in life mm-hmm. off of the fire ground. You know, there's a reason why we have high divorce rates and substance abuse rates. And I hate to say it, but, you know, suicide rates, it shouldn't be. And I feel that we as a fire service can do a much, much better job at looking out for ourselves, looking out for one another. And that's why I relished the opportunity to come onto your show and really open up and talk about some personal struggles that I had. And for those of you who will listen and feel that you may have been personally attacked, it's okay. You know, find a support system, find a network of trusted professionals, and find your own firehouse kitchen table. And, mm-hmm. you know, just know that it's okay. It's not the end of the world when somebody attacks your character. Chances are they really don't know anything about you.
Right. Don't need to listen to that. You put walls up, you know, you can't keep yourself from sometimes hearing the chatter, if you will, but it is our choice whether we're going to dwell on it or if we're just going to say, nope, I'm not going to give that any time, you know, and then go read some of those testimonials and nice emails you've received over the years and get your thinking back on track. Right. I'm a big believer of that. Right. Yeah, you're right. Yes, people sir. Will attack. Hey, you know, you mentioned the obesity in the fire service and then the, you know, from the depression, the alcohol use disorder, even suicide and all of that. But, and you think about it, obesity is generally a coping mechanism. Not a healthy one, right? But it's still a coping mechanism. I believe, and I think the science is there that, you know, we're struggling with something, right? And I like how you're saying that, you know, we need to be able to talk and share and not feel like, oh, if I talk about this and they're going to question whether I'm competent for a promotion or, you know, I know the worries out there, you know, it can be in the fire service or it can pretty much be in any industry. You know, it's that whole mental health stigma out there that it's getting better. You know, we see some improvement with it, but it's definitely there. And so talk about a little bit, if you would, about the one thing we didn't touch on is sort of the physical health, right? Has exercise been in your game plan as a firefighter and father and all of that? And how do you help keep yourself mentally healthy?
So I'll start with the physical component. I am not in the gym as much as I'd like to be, or I should be.
Folks, he's feeling guilty right now, and he's probably going to make it to the gym later today.
I'm going to send you a picture of my fat ass on a treadmill in about an hour. I got shamed into it. excuse me. I most certainly could be in better shape. And, you know, that joke, you know, round is a shape, but, I do try to get myself, into the gym at work and, you know, lift things up and put things down from time to time. And, I think physical stamina is more than just, you know, how cut up you are. I think you talk about resiliency as being a mental strength. I also think there's physical resiliency. I might not have six pack abs. I might not have, you know, big biceps and a chest, but I know that I'm at a level of physical fitness in my life right now. Should I be put to the test inside of a fire to have to rescue a victim or rescue another brother or sister firefighter, that I know that I can perform my job. Mm-hmm. So am I at the pinnacle of physical fitness? No. And I hate to say this, but am I fit enough? I would like to think so. So that's what I'll say. And you know, like people, guys and gals, you'll know when you need to maybe back away from the second helping at the kitchen table or, you know, get on the treadmill or not. So I've been there. My weight has gone up. It's gone down. But I'd always like to say that I'm where I need to be in order to perform my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's physically. Yeah. Mental stamina. Like I said, I was being attacked and I don't want to call it a breakdown, but I definitely was at a low point professionally in my mental status. And again, that's the reason why I turned to Christ and started meditating and changing my priorities and changing my perspective about what's important. And I put way too much stock into what others thought and said about me. And that ruined me. It ruined me. And like you said, you have to build up some walls and some defenses. So in order to keep my mental stamina, you know, I've built an accountability network. And, you know, for those who have ever seen the movie Fight Club, what's the, you know, the first rule of Fight Club, we don't talk about Fight Club. However, you know, I will talk about this. There's 12 of us and we call it the Firehouse Kitchen Table. And we used to, you know, text back and forth until our batteries on our cell phones died because we were texting like little schoolgirls. And, you know, so now we use the Slack application and there's 12 of us in there. And, you know, we found ourselves gravitating towards, you know, our nucleus of brothers, you know, when we're at national conferences, you know, we go out and have dinner together and talk and you know, like minds flock together.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very beginning, you know, it was just very fire centered, you know, fire service centered, because we were feeling one another out and you know, developing that trust and that camaraderie. Now, you know, 5 years later, we're talking about everything from faith, family, fire, retirement. You know, there's nothing off the books. And the best thing about it is that we all explicitly trust one another, where what's said in that chat group stays in that chat group. And it has saved my career on more than one occasion, because when my relief valve was about to blow, I reach out to my accountability group and say, hey, man, I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah. You know?
And within 5 minutes, I'm getting 3 phone calls, 2 text messages, you know, hey, man, you good? I'm available. So I encourage for other firefighters and emergency service providers to develop and build your own accountability network. It will save your career. It will save your life. It'll save your mental and physical well-being.
I love that. And I get bits and pieces of understanding it more and more. From when I talked with Andy in the past. You sort of probably touched on, because I had this other question that I always like to wrap up or get close to wrapping up. My son is a part-time firefighter, former 82nd Airborne guy, so a military guy like you. He spent 9 months in Afghanistan, lots of missions in his tour. But today he's part-time firefighter near Cincinnati, Ohio, and he's in paramedic school, putting himself through it through the GI Bill, and just started that just last week, actually. But I always like to ask my guests, what advice do you have for these young men and women that are coming into the fire service?
Putting a military spin on it, I'll say semper gumby, right? And what I mean by that is be flexible. The fire and emergency services is most certainly changing. When I first became a firefighter 25 years ago as a volunteer, it was very fire oriented. Now we're firefighters, we're paramedics, we're crisis counselors, we're fitness gurus. You know, the best piece of advice I can say is don't pigeonhole yourself into one aspect of emergency service providing. You know, he's going to find his niche, whether it be paramedicine, whether it be firefighting, you know, extrication, whether it be, you know, forcible entry, whatever it may be in the fire service, he's going to find his niche. He's going to find his passion.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to expand upon that and really develop the psychomotor skills and the cognitive skills to take it to the next level. A lot of young firefighters feel that they have to be great at everything. And it's impossible to be great at everything. It just doesn't work out. So find the one thing that you're passionate about and just focus on being the best paramedic you can be, the best firefighter you can be, and build that mental resiliency and just be flexible. I mean, I know it's a very broad stroke, but I was very rigid when I was a younger man, right? I was very disciplined. I was a Marine. Like, it had to be right or wrong. It had to be this way or that way. There was no in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself as I grew older to just be more flexible.
Now, great advice. Thank you very much for that. Hey, once in a while, John, it just strikes me to, I want to just toss an opportunity over to you. Is I'm going to take my picture out of the scene a little bit. And I want to give you an opportunity, because what I'd like to do is I'd like for you to ask your wife, Linda, and your daughters, Ashley and Madison, to listen to the podcast. And I would like to give you an opportunity to speak directly to your wife, Linda, your 2 daughters, into the camera. That's why I say I'm going to back off so it doesn't look like you're talking to me. Okay. And because I want you to think of them, and what would you like for them to know about how proud, how much you love them, things like that. I'll give you a second to do that if you'd like.
Awesome. Sure.
There you go, buddy.
To my beautiful wife, Linda, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to love and serve you as your friend and as your husband. And I hope that when things may not work out the way that we have planned, that trust that God has a plan. And I'm trying to honor him by loving you and being your support network and everything that I can do, and being the best man and husband that I know that I can be to support you. You are my best friend and my greatest supporter in my life, and I love you for that. To Ashley, my oldest daughter, who was in college, I pray for you that you come to know and love your life and your future opportunities. And there will be hard times, there will be shortcomings, but just know that as your father and as your friend, I'm always here to be your support network. And I'll get down in the trenches with you, but just know that I'm not going to stay there with you. You have to learn to fight back, and you will achieve whatever you set your mind to. I promise you that. To my daughter, Madison, who is in high school, I look forward to a strengthening of our relationship as you grow older and how I can help you plan for your life. And more importantly, we're going to learn how to drive pretty soon. So I'm sure that we're going to be white knuckled about that, but you can do it. And I have faith in you. And I love you very much. I love you both. And I am proud and honored to be your father. And just knowing that we have a bond that no one can break is phenomenal. And that's the very definition of the word family. And I love you all.
And that is beautiful, John. I'll tell you, you make me want to become a better husband and a better father and even get more involved. And I'm not used to being on that side of things. So fantastic.
Thank you for allowing me to do that, because that was the first opportunity that I've ever had to record a message.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's very powerful, and I think I'm going to look to doing that more often.
Outstanding. Hey, my friend, if you would, could you give all the firefighters, law enforcement, they listen to the podcast as well, all those first responders out there, if you'd like, I'd like to give you an opportunity to close this podcast out with a final blessing.
Heavenly Father, please continue to look out for the police officers, firefighters, emergency medical providers, as we come to know and love and serve you and protect your children here on earth. We are not perfect, but with your help, we can learn to be and follow your example. Please keep watch over them. Please look out for them. And just know that we are here to do your work. Please pray for us all.
Amen. Amen. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.